Yeah, baby.
Let's go. Live in Boston.
Oh, I probably shouldn't have this.
Should take that off. Okay. Welcome to the Cooligans live reaction.
It's stuck in my head.
There it is.
Forget it existed.
Welcome to the Cooligans live reaction.
Come on.
Immediately after France versus Morocco.
We're going to call this episode, what did I tell you?
Hey, I'm a genius.
I think I'm batting like 80% here. So, I guess I'm batting 800 because I am absolutely on fire, much like France in beating Morocco 2-0.
Yeah, not too much of a surprise in the result. Probably a surprising performance from Morocco. I thought this game would go.
Here's maybe the truth. They defended well, but what are you going to do?
It's Mbappe's there. It's a goddamn Monstars. It's difficult to get through.
But you could stop one of them, and then it turns out the other 10 are also really good.
But welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerreros. Look at this. My hand is in his camera shot. That's weird, isn't it? Oh, my God.
Crazy.
How long is my hand?
It's movie magic.
Damn, anything can happen on this show.
Shout out to everybody watching on YouTube, Yahoo Sports Network, wherever you're watching. If you want to leave some comments, put them on YouTube, and we will react to them a little bit later and during the show. All right. So, I mean, the stats don't really say anything.
Yeah, they do the shots and the shots on target. They're pretty significant.
They don't say anything that necessarily, because look, Morocco has been in games like this that were kind of just, they weren't necessarily the favorites, or they were dominated, not necessarily dominated, but it was just like a little bit more even. Given the performance against the Netherlands, I just did not expect this from Morocco. I would say it's the it's not necessarily the equivalent of the U.S. Belgium, where we're shocked at the performance.
No, this wasn't team didn't collapse.
But Morocco's clearly closer to France than, and not just geographically, they're closer to France from a footballing perspective than the U.S. is. So I think for Moroccans, this might feel like, this is kind of a lackluster performance.
I'd have to think a little more about that statement, to be honest with you.
Okay.
To figure out whether I agree or not. But I will say this. I expected Morocco to show up in a much bigger way than they showed up. But at the same time, it's like, what can you actually do against this France team? We're looking at the knockout bracket now, and
France is just waiting to see who wins between Spain and Belgium.
And to be honest with you, I think Spain will give them a good game. Belgium, I think we're going to see a similar result to what we see here. It just seems to me like France is a complete team. And that the weight of that is much bigger than maybe you may think when you hear it. They are a fully complete team in a way that no one else in this tournament is. Maybe besides England, but I think the ceiling is higher for France right now. They're much more unified. They play together a little better. They understand each other's roles, where I think England is still figuring out like what happens in the 75th minute if it gets difficult. I'm looking at all the teams available here. Argentina, you would also maybe say, is a complete team, but I think France is just one notch above them. It's really when those two meet in the final, which I can see happening again, it really comes down to maybe heart.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think that the thing that stood out to me in this game is like the composure for France, right? You saw after the game against Paraguay, Kylian Mbappe talking about, you know, if they want to, I forgot what he said, play a dirty game or something like that. Whatever. He swore, he was very upset with how Paraguay composed themselves. But it almost to a sense of like if the game needs to get CONCACAF-y or CONMEBOL-y, yeah.
And we could play in the mud too.
We could do that too. And if you need some world class finesse and great goals, we can do that too.
We got that too. Yeah.
So when you say complete team, that's kind of what that's the only thing that they could even possibly be missing. But I think they've answered that question.
And I got to be honest, you know, they mentioned this during the broadcast, but a year ago, if you would have told me that this was, the last run for Didier Deschamps, I'd probably say like, yeah. You know what? He had a great run. He won the World Cup. What more do you really need? He lost in the final, but it's not really his fault.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the last run for Didier Deschamps, and that's not a bad thing. And looking at the way this team is playing right now, I'm thinking like, dude, give this guy one more cycle. Like, please stick around for one more cycle.
Usually the you know, when you have a coach for multiple cycles, like, the message stops resonating, right? Yeah. Like, some of the players get...
It gets a little stale.
Yeah, a little stale. Like, we already won the World Cup. Yeah. I mean, how much more do we need to do now?
We get it. You grew up on a farm. But
for France, that doesn't seem to be an issue. There's no lack of hunger on these players. They go into the World Cup being like, we are winning the World Cup. We should win the World Cup.
And he's found a way to get each individual player to be selfless. And we talked a little bit about the run that Kylian Mbappe made. Excuse me. He talked a little bit about the run that Kylian Mbappe made, to set up the Dembele goal. You made the joke, but I think it's 100% true. I don't think Portugal does that, for the lack of not saying the player's name.
Sure.
I don't think
I made the joke on stage at the venue that we are currently at.
This isn't what our hotel room looks like.
We are right now at Phoenix,
the Roadrunner.
At the Roadrunner. Phoenix is playing on stage.
On stage. And Tuscaloosa is ready to perform afterwards.
Okay.
But I just don't think there's a lot of players that are in the running for Golden Boot and, you know, that would make that sort of selfless run.
Yeah,
to go up 2-0, maybe would make a specific run to get themselves a little bit more open and maybe hopefully get a pass. And, you know, maybe I shouldn't be shocked by it, because I think Mbappe has grown up a little bit in the last few years. But it still surprises me that Mbappe is willing to do that. And it still surprises me that Dembele is willing to, I don't think he's playing second fiddle, but willing to not be the star when he's kind of the star at PSG.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be anybody on this team that's like, that wants to be the star per se. I mean, Kylian Mbappe
feels the need to be.
Piece. I mean, you saw the pass to Dembele, where it's just like he does a light little back heel layoff of the ball, and you know, 30 yards away from goal, and Dembele does the rest, and then and scores. Still an assist. It still counts. But you saw him celebrating with Dembele, which is not. You know, it doesn't necessarily feel like Mbappe's trying to chase the goal record, the World Cup goal record, or the Golden Boot for this. They just want to win the World Cup, and this is a great place to be in. At least, like, chemistry wise, psychologically, they just seem to be banging on all cylinders. And yeah, whoever ends up is it, whether Spain or Belgium, you're going to have to favor
France
regardless.
You're running into a freight train.
Yeah.
Why don't we talk a little bit about player of the game? Because for me, I think there's only one name that you really can name when it comes to this team, and that's Mbappe, man.
Yeah.
He is the metronome. He is the pendulum. He is the engine. He is the heart and soul. He is the leader. He is the dictator. Whatever you want to say about him.
Okay.
He's all of those things.
He's the czar.
Yeah, dude.
He's the admiral.
He's
general.
The ombudsman. He is all of it, dude. And it's just something about his, you know, as he gets older, his leadership, I think, is starting to shine through in this World Cup in a way we haven't seen before. You know, he kind of really wasn't a leader. He was more of a superstar at PSG. Mm-hmm. And in previous tournaments, he was like the wunderkind and, you know, kind of wanted to take the reins in the last World Cup. In this World Cup, you could see how much it means for the rest of this France team to play with and for him.
Well, I think he's matured amazingly. And just like he, not only as a player, not only as a leader, we saw how he was defending Vinicius Jr. when he was dealing with Prestiani and the whole thing. So whether it's on the pitch, off the pitch, we're dealing with the Paraguayan politician that was making the racist statements and comments about him, responded with complete class, denounced this person.
He said, "Suck your mom." No, that's what I would have said.
but denounced her without making the focus on the Paraguayan team, and I'm sure he was quite annoyed with Paraguay.
Annoyed, the way
he was getting his ass kicked by the team, and he didn't throw any low blows towards the team or the country. Just focus on this lady, and so we're seeing just a mentally sort of mature and developed young man, and he's also one of the greatest players in the world. So
yeah. I was actually standing next to one of the Bank of America execs when she was like, you know, I really don't want to like this guy. She's like, and I looked up everything I could to find something I don't like about Mbappe. And he's just he's like on the right side of history in every decision he makes. He like defends women. He's like
he also
good with his teammates.
He won't do betting and take any betting sponsorships because.
But yeah, she's just like I want to find something about this guy I don't like, but it turns out he's just a great guy.
Yeah,
and I think as you mentioned, maturity as he matures, we're starting to see the side of him. It's not so much as like the superstar that needs to be coddled. So really impressive from Mbappe. Another impressive game, and I have a feeling there's just going to be more of these on the way to the. The World Cup final. Possibly even a victory for them.
We shall see. All right. Well, we got some tweets and some comments we're going to take a quick look at. We got Opti Joe says, five, France in 2026 are the first team to have two players score 5+ goals in a single World Cup since Brazil in 2002. And that was Ronaldo and Rivaldo.
You heard of those guys? They're pretty famous.
Mbappe and Dembele. Yeah, I mean, look, this is Dembele got 3 in one game. So he got a bunch in that one. But this is it's not even about distributing the ball. I was sort of saying, distributing the goals. It is that Olise is so incredibly dangerous and knows just who to get the ball to. The timing is fantastic. And then Olise is a problem, and this is what helps these other two guys, is that Olise is also a very dangerous goal threat, and he hasn't scored yet. And
can I tell you something? The Premier League really needs to look at themselves and wonder, how do you have a talent like that in your league for multiple years and yet you never see this level? What is it about your league that stops a player from being this free? And we could all sit here and talk about it. It's too defensive. It's too tight. You lose so much money by not being in this league. You can't really risk getting relegated. Yeah, but
you can. And it's not
what else is hiding in this league?
It's not necessarily the quality, right? Because the World Cup quality would be higher than the Premier League. But it's the strategy. It's the tactics. It's meant to
but it's also
to not lose games.
It's
fear,
right? Because even the bottom of the table is a tough team.
Yeah,
Squawka's got a good stat here. It says Kylian Mbappe is the first player to be involved in 100 goals for the France national team. 64 goals and 36 assists. He's played 104 games.
My man is.
Damn,
dude!
He took 4 games off.
Mbappe against the Moroccan bus, hilarious!
Damn,
dude! Yeah, I mean, there's nothing they could do. Even was it Isa? I forgot his name. The center back that fouled him that might be the reason why Mbappe had to leave the game because he was dealing with an injury.
In Paris for this game, just watch some guys jump onto a cop car trying to pass through a crowd, and the cops zoom to get them off.
Okay, David from Paris. Let's go.
Damn, sacre bleu.
Rough day for old Morocco. Was that a friendly? No, there's nothing.
It did have a weird feeling to it of, hey, if we don't venture out a little bit, maybe they won't be as good. You know what I mean? It was like very compact for Morocco.
Marco goalie, not too shabby. Too bad he was playing France. Yeah, I mean, Yassine Bonu is, the last 3 World Cups, he's been a legend. Stopping the penalty, making some really, really huge stops in the first half.
What a real missed opportunity for Canada.
Yeah, but it's just the goals. Maybe he could have done better on the Dembele goal, but it is what it is.
I mean, he was stretched as far as he could go.
He got his hand on it. So every time when a keeper gets their hand on it, I should have stopped that.
Vive la France. But he did stop a penalty.
He did stop a penalty, but he stopped.
It was one of the worst penalties I've ever seen Mbappe take.
The Mbappe's first goal, Mbappe's goal, he was like a finesse sort of top spin on the ball that like most players can't even set up for a shot like that. It's nearly impossible.
They're not doing it in training.
He was worried about the ball going through his legs, similar to the Erling Haaland goal against Brazil. Yeah. So he closed his legs. I'm like, you had to stick your legs out right there. Oh, I wanted to read that comment. Apologies if I didn't get
that
to
was
it.
Simply about the other players carrying Mbappe off the pitch. So he's okay. Okay, there it is.
Thank you.
Highlight of the match, dictator Mbappe getting hurt. And Olise, Dembele, and Rabiot carrying him out. Get well soon in all seriousness. We hope so too. From the from the broadcasters, it didn't seem like it was too serious.
But look, he got that foul that he got, that where he fell down and was down for a second. I mean, I think he ended up scoring after that, but it looks like.
Well, if they would have lost, U.S. Soccer would have said it was a bone bruise.
Okay, we'll get to that another day. All right, Kylian Mbappe says, "I'm fine. I took a knock to my wrist, but it's nothing to worry about." Oh, it's the wrist. I thought it was his foot. He had ice on his foot. Maybe this is a mistranslation. Anyway, he goes, "I suppose that at the moment, Jean-Philippe Mateta was in better form than me to play the last 15 minutes. I came off and he came on. He made a good start." Okay. He's always supporting,
shouting out his homies, bro.
Yeah, bro. My man is, my man could be a politician. You know, when somebody, he's a dictator, but he could be a politician.
You know, when somebody scores a goal and they point at the guy who assisted and he keeps pointing, that's what he's doing right
there. Yeah, let's go. All right. Anything else? Okay. When mom says there's food at home. Okay. I don't even.
The shadow is a goat. Very nice.
This is lovely. Kylian Mbappe with the goat shadow. Is Messi getting replaced?
It looks like a goat with a very specific anatomical part on his back.
It does kind of look like that. That's not where it goes. Okay.
Why put it on his back?
Yeah. So let's look at the golden boot race. Where Mbappe is currently, now that he
must be in lead after these
eight,
two goals,
right? No, I think he's tied with Messi.
Oh, look at this. Him and Messi with eight.
Eight. And then, but it's not even just the golden boot, but then it's also the World Cup record as well.
Yeah.
Which I mean, he seems like he's trying to get the record now, as opposed to the next World Cup, possibly.
Yeah, for sure. You never know.
You never know.
You never know when your knee is going to give out or whatever.
Yeah, so the fact that this is so competitive, especially between Mbappe and Messi, this is kind of like, I mean, I don't know. What's the record for a golden boot? Like, who has scored the most goals in one World Cup, if we can get that stat?
It was probably Miroslav Klose, right? Because he was the leader before this. Which, by the way, coming into this World Cup, he was still the leader. He's at 16. Everyone's blown past him.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any one of these guys that, or at least that are ahead of him, that have less than 21.
Okay, so 13 and one. Gus Fontaine. Gus Fontaine. That record might be broken by both of them.
Yeah.
To be honest,
I could see Erling Haaland still pulling it off at 7 goals right now.
We mean 13 or just the golden boot?
13.
13. Okay, I mean, again, they have to beat England. That's going to be not necessarily easy. But this is the game against Argentina versus Egypt. You know, I mean, for most of the game, I thought Argentina were done and they're out of this World Cup. And we'll probably have more time to talk about the drama of that game in the future. But this is the fact that he even scored in that game is just like, man, is it the soccer gods? Is Messi have a magnet in his boot where the ball is attracted to him and he's always going to have an opportunity to kill you?
Maybe it's the peptides. Maybe I was right.
It's always the peptides.
You know why I say that? Because, you know, like when they talk about performance enhancing drug, if you started taking steroids and HGH, you wouldn't hit home runs. You have to be like a very great baseball player and juice. We're talking about the greatest player of all time and whatever fountain of youth he's found before this, whether it was the rest associated with playing in a league like MLS and, you know, having much more young and athletic players around you. Maybe it's this newfound ability to sort of walk a little bit and have every other player sort of pick up the slack across the board for you. And maybe it's just the wiliness of having seen this all so many times and being so experienced and being so great that you already know where to be. And you're like, I've seen these machinations before. This guy's going to pass to that guy. I'm going to go stand here. Maybe it's that. But when it comes together at the ripe age of 38, 39 years old, I'm still so very impressed. If you go back, I feel like I've done a pretty good job of telling you what was going to happen in this World Cup. I had zero clue, zero confidence that Lionel Messi would be this good. So the golden boot race between this guy right here and Kylian Mbappe, to me, is turning out to be the sort of subplot A of this entire World Cup.
Yeah. It's like it's another fun aspect of the World Cup to pay attention to. And I mean, it's miraculous that Argentina came back in that game. It really makes no sense. I mean, Egypt, the goal gets taken away because of the foul, but they still go up 2-0. And they are still, it's nearly impossible for them to you have like 12 minutes left mm-hmm. to with and you're up 2-0 and you give up three goals in regulation. It's so insane. And then
it was like next Spurs.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. Was that game three?
Game three, yeah. This is like truly, truly insane. And it kind of just highlights the way this is why I don't think Argentina can be considered favorites, even though they are still having these miraculous games.
Because they still went down 2-0.
They still went down 2-0, but it's more about how they went down 2-0. They are super susceptible to counterattacks.
They're slow.
I don't even think they're slow. They play risky football. They are really, really dangerously trying to win. They play very close to the sun, right? The sun is right on their flag. They play in a way that is just, I mean, it's entertaining. I think that's
what I mean by they're slow. Like, if you're going to bomb forward, you have to have the ability to track back. You have to say you can only go so far as you can get back.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, you would be able to go a little bit further than I would. For obvious reasons. You're much more athletic. And me, I would probably get as far as the physio. But that's the point I'm trying to make. Like, when they had Tagliafico on the left, he was another player that was, like, sitting back a little bit more than bombing forward. And now they've made that shift.
Yeah.
I'm shocked at how offensive they get. But then at the same time, it seems to work.
Yeah. I mean, look, the story around it is... you know, about the refereeing decisions and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
but like,
I don't
at the end of the day,
I don't
like, see the you're up 2-0. Like, and after you were like, you know, you were robbed of a goal, you scored a goal. So I don't know, you know, it's like unfortunate for Egypt, but, you know, still they ended up scoring three goals on you. And that has to be the thing that you have to focus on. Okay.
Let's do a little stock up, stock down.
Stock up, stock down.
I mean, for me, I'm going to say stock down for maybe, I guess, Hakimi. You know, he was someone who I thought could maybe take over the game on the Moroccan side. And there just really wasn't a chance to. You know, he bombs forward. Speaking of bombing forward. And for me, you know, I thought Luka Digne probably wouldn't be able to defend him as well. And it just never got a chance.
Yeah.
You know, this France team had them so on lock. We're counter pressing so well. We're shifting the you know, what do they call it? The field... is it the field ratio? Like, the area of the pitch where most of the action was right on top of them. And
yeah.
At the end of the day, I mean, it just was one of those where I wouldn't call it a complete takedown, but it was very close to it. And your players like Hakimi, Mazraoui.
Mazraoui was abysmal, man.
Yeah, he was very much like flailing all over the place trying to defend. Last gasp defending. Tim Ream-esque, if you will.
He fouled for the penalty. Yeah, he was not good at all.
It wasn't great. So for me, stock down would probably, I should do Mazraoui instead of Hakimi.
Yeah, Mazraoui, I mean, they play with three at the back, I think, or five at the back.
There were times where it was five or six.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just like, Mazraoui looked completely out of place. I mean, again, I don't even know why you dive on that challenge, and you know, obviously the penalty gets saved, but just like looked rattled throughout the game. And then he's also the one kind of in front of Dembele when he scores his goal. Just a really so stock. Yeah, he has to be stocked down for me. That was just a really, really poor game defending, and genuinely shocking from Morocco. Like, after the game against Netherlands, I'm like, oh man, this team is playing greater than the sum of their parts, and clearly the heart is there, and they really want it. But France is France. I mean, but they also, like, offensively also couldn't create those moments and those miracles that they had against Netherlands. So
plus you need opportunities, and you could see from here they just didn't have enough.
Yeah, stock up. I mean, it's easy to probably say Mbappe. I'm gonna say I thought Dembele also was really, really sharp in this game. But I mean, you could say stock up for the entire France team. It's hard to find the flaw.
I'm gonna give it to Deschamps, even though I think Ousmane Dembele is incredible in this game. And you could even say Mbappe, dude, just because of that run he made for the Dembele goal, which you just don't expect. But I'm gonna give it to Dembele. I think is a great shout. But I'm gonna give it to Deschamps just. Once again, just making me think like, damn, you might be walking away too soon.
Hey, production, do we have a handsome photo of Deschamps ready to go?
Is there such a thing?
Is there a nice?
He has the face of someone who just had milk and isn't sure if it's sour.
So yeah, man, this is a look, this is not a game where we were surprised by much, but this is just like, you know, whenever France seems to be getting tested, and I still think their biggest test was against Paraguay. They surpass it, man.
This is crazy to say, but the World Cup is going to be two games for France, because that's the next two games are probably the only really tough ones they're going to face.
I mean, we'll see if, like, I think there's a good match, definitely a good matchup. You got to expect Spain to beat Belgium. We shall see. But that should be a good match that could also be a final for a lot of people as well. But, you know, I think it feels like we are ramping up for another Argentina-France final.
It does feel like that.
But we shall see.
All the English fans are like, what about us? You heard what we said.
So we'll see how that goes. All right. Do we got any comments to go to? Or
A couple tweets.
Yeah. Let's take a look. Klopp with Mbappe. Klopp was there. The new Germany manager.
Is that official yet?
Is that real? This is also, oh, he's probably doing stuff for TV. I don't know now, because these AI videos are happening so fast. I'm like, is this even real? Is this Mbappe?
You become a boomer. MVP goes to Mbappe.
I don't know.
That's not a shock,
dude. My mom is like, now she learned how to share videos on Facebook, like Facebook Messenger, share posts and stuff like that.
She's going crazy.
It's AI everything, bro. Yeah. I feel terrible for her algorithm.
A lot of it's like AI baby Jesus and AI, you know.
Ousmane Dembele has zero World Cup career goals before this 2026 World Cup. Now he has five.
Damn, only 11 away from Miroslav Klose.
Dembele was not in the 2018 team, right?
I believe he was.
Was he? Please correct me. He played three World Cups already?
Here we go. Oh. Didier Deschamps has more World Cup matches than any manager in history.
Okay, they'll let him go.
Damn, Otavare was the manager of Uruguay for like 30 years.
Jeez. In France, 12 years in the making, in France's quarterfinal against Morocco, Didier Deschamps will equal Helmut Schön's record of 25 appearances as a manager at the FIFA World Cup. Deschamps already holds the record for most wins in the competition with 19. I mean, look, it's also France. It's a goddamn football factory, bro. Yeah. It's like, it's not necessarily like he's scouting all the talent.
Once again, servicemen, get to the suburbs of France, my guys.
Yeah, that's where it all happens.
Yeah,
all
we need you to occupy some
David from Tampa Bay. Messi honestly had a path to break Klose's record in a single tournament. This World Cup, that is true.
If you know what, that is one of the effects of having 48
man,
teams.
He does not want to make penalties, but you know, a 15-yard volley screamer out of the air.
He can't score easy ones.
that one, piece of cake for him.
Tapping, I can't do it.
I'm not familiar with that. Okay. Yeah, man, this is just a fun goal. Like, even
stock
when you
stock up Argentina's lawyer.
The one thing that with Argentina, that on a more serious note, I don't know what this has been, I feel like the first World Cup where it's been like so much more documented. But I don't know if you've been seeing the racism from the Argentinian fans in the crowd. You saw they would bothering Speed and being. I'm like, hey. we know the rumors. We know what you know. How are you? Why are you doing this in public? It's crazy.
What rumors?
I mean, you know what I mean.
we know it. There's a reason why on the internet I said this.
It's wild that it's been so public, and at the World Cup here, it's kind of crazy.
I'm sorry, Morocco. We all love an underdog story, but we've got a job to finish. We have to stop corruption.
Speaking of AI videos, there we go.
Maybe this is real.
This has to be real.
Maybe obviously. He wore that.
Okay.
He had the big beard.
Dictator Mbappe. Kim Jong Mbappe. Look, these are great.
These are really well done.
Oh my god.
Let's do a little bit of Spain versus Belgium.
Yes.
This feels like the end of the road for Belgium, but I also thought that about the U.S. men's national team game, and we saw how that went. Mm-hmm. But I think Belgium are a very good team. Rui Garcia very clearly is playing very high level chess with this team, sitting certain players, starting certain players. De Catalare obviously had a tremendous game. Kevin De Bruyne, if he starts or if he comes in as a sub, can be very influential. Jeremy Doku, same. This is a very impressive team, but I don't know how you feel about this, but it feels like Spain is just going to be a level too big.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, the Quetzalera hadn't scored in the World Cup until he played against the U.S. You know, as far as the lineup, where we were looking at the Belgium lineup before, De Bruyne needs to start that game, right? There's no, I can't see
against
a world.
Spain, you would run him out.
Where he does not.
Look at this team. I mean, you've been very critical of Oyarzabal. Are you converted yet?
Not really.
Okay.
Not really. I think they are kind of making it work. They're not as goal dangerous as France is. So that's kind of like why I'm not, you know, necessarily sold on him on just being the out and out striker for France. I think he is good.
You mean for Spain.
For Spain. So I think he's doing the job and
he has four goals. That's really impressive.
He does have four goals, but did he score against Cape Verde? Did he score?
How many people scored against Cape Verde?
Zero. I'm just saying. It's just like, all right, if you want to be the you know, he's getting subbed off in games. He's not the guy that they're like, yo, we know he's going to score.
And I don't think we expect that from him, but I do like the tactics that they're using. I do like the way De La Fuente has them set up.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that Pedri is making runs into spaces, gaps in the back line, creating space for Dani Olmo, creating space for Baena. Baena is playing a lot better than I expected.
Baena, I think, has so far, in my opinion, been the best player for Spain.
Compared to what you thought you would get
from him? Yeah.
Because I still think Lamine Yamal is probably the most dynamic. But I didn't think you would get much out of Baena, or at least I wasn't expecting much, and he's really impressed me in a big, big way. And I think Oyarzabal, what you've asked him to do, he's done. He's scored four goals. And I get you. I get it. He's not like a world beater, and he's not, you know, an Erling Haaland or an Mbappe. Yeah, yeah. But maybe you don't need that, especially from Spain that's won trophies playing 4-6-0 formation.
Yeah, they can totally beat Spain. Yeah, I mean, that's not impossible.
Belgium, you're talking about.
Sorry. They can. I'm talking about.
Spain can be Belgium.
I'm sort of already thinking of Spain playing against France. I'm like,
so am I.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, sort of getting ahead of ourselves. But
also, Christian's been drinking.
Yeah, I literally have not drank at all.
He's been. We've been doing shots, and I said, maybe you shouldn't do this, Christian. He said, don't you dare. I can stop whenever I want.
Drink coconut water.
He's been filling this cup, this bottle with rum, and I said, don't do that.
No, man. It's just a. When I think of those, if France and Spain do face each other, it'll be a more Spain will have to rely more defensively. That's what they have to prioritize. I don't think they will be getting a ton of goals. It's very difficult to score against France. I don't know exactly
what about Belgium. Who on Belgium needs to have a big game in order for it to be France Belgium and not France Spain Belgium? Spain France.
I'm gonna say, yeah. Look, you would imagine De Ketelaere is gonna start again. You would imagine De Bruyne would start this game. I think he would have to have an impactful game.
I agree with you. I would say I think it has to be Kevin De Bruyne. The few opportunities that they're going to get, Kevin De Bruyne has to really be pulling strings, really getting the ball.
I don't think they're going to be having a lot of the ball.
No.
I don't think there's going to be it's just not going to be the U.S. I mean,
10 chances created is pretty great in four games, though, for a guy who didn't even play in the last game.
Sure, sure.
It is pretty great. But he needs to be like 85 minutes of top-notch, best game you've had this World Cup. Football in order for you to have a chance.
Yeah.
Spain.
So I think defensively, I don't see how Belgium can like stack up against Spain. They're going to be the middle of the field. You saw even in the build up to the goal that Marino scores, like there's a lot happening in the midfield. Like, mm-hmm. That's going to be the decision for Rudy Garcia. Like, if you do start De Bruyne, you're going to give up some, it's going to be a defensive liability. Do you make that choice? Go with the same lineup that you played against the U.S. and play a little bit more cautious and play a little bit more defensive. Maybe De Bruyne comes in later in the game. It's an option that they have, but I would imagine you want your best players on the pitch at any given time, especially against a really, really difficult opponent like Spain. But yeah, it's a mountain to climb. It's not impossible, but it's going to be hard for Belgium.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I think we got some comments to look at before we head out. And
thank you, everybody who's been hanging out with us. Please drop a couple comments. Out.
Yeah, hit like, hit subscribe on YouTube if you have not yet. Make sure you follow us on all socials at Soccer Cool.
In fact, if you're watching, do you think France just kind of waltzes to the final now?
Yeah, is this an easy? I mean, they haven't had the easiest path. I mean, by far, like on paper, Argentina has had the easiest path that they've literally been like throwing landmines on the ground.
Damn, Ronaldo stand.
They've had a fairly easy path to the final, and they seem to be making it way more dramatic and entertaining than it needs to be.
Bro, the incels got in the comment section of my biggest mistake of the tournament.
Okay,
was Roberto Martinez not
sure.
Gonzalo Ramos?
Why are they incels? Wow,
because you know they're a bunch of nerds.
Get laid.
Suckling at the teat that is Cristiano Ronaldo. just really upset and defending their man. That's my man.
At least they're getting some titty.
That's right. All right.
So, I mean,
let's talk a little bit more about Spain or Belgium. We got to give a final result.
Yeah, I think Spain wins this game 2-0. I don't think.
Yeah, I'm thinking this is a 4-1, a reversal of the U.S. score.
Interesting. That'd be interesting. We'll see that. Okay. Interesting. Okay. Love on the Spectrum. Tune in. It's a good show.
You love that show, man.
Love that show. Okay.
At least it's like a positive show.
Wait. As opposed to a negative show? What's it?
Not me. I like Skuz Island.
Wait, say that again.
Sorry. I was making a loud joke.
Tweets and comments. Hey,
tweets.
Let's go.
And some comments. What do you got, huh?
We got that Vita Coco got Henny in
there. What you know about that? You ever get to the end of this and there's a little bit of juice, but you can't get it out, and then you kind of got to like stick your tongue in it like,
damn,
like
bro.
Shorty on your anniversary?
Hey, yo, bro. Deep throat in that Vita Coco.
Spain will do their usual masturbatory East-West ball dominant style. Yeah, they do love that. But at this point, it's just like, well, let's just pass it until Lamine Yamal's up for it, and then we pass it in. Masturbatory in the show, though.
Nico Gonzalez showed off his Pharaoh tattoo right after eliminating Egypt.
Damn, bro.
What's all that about?
Couldn't get it a little lower.
You're showing us a lot, dog. Okay, I didn't.
Nico Gonzalez showing us he's satin gum. No, wait a minute. That's not what that is.
I don't need to see your adductor, bro. That's very close.
Okay, your hip flexor.
Okay.
I can't read this.
Opta just says the qualification chances for each of the 8 World Cup quarterfinalists. So France is 74. Obviously, Morocco 0 now. Spain 70. Belgium 30%. England 62, Norway 38, Argentina 69, Switzerland 31. Give a shout out to Switzerland. The penalty, the final penalty to defeat Colombia, scored by Ruben Vargas.
Somebody told me there's 2 Dominicans on that team. Is that true?
I only know of one.
If there's a second one you don't know about, I'm going to be very disappointed.
I will claim him immediately if there is, but I do not believe.
If you've known him for a while.
I do not believe there is. Monzambi, are you?
Or is there a guy named like Yeseldes or something?
No, Ruben Vargas scores the game-winning penalty. A Dominican. You know, helping his team get to the quarterfinals. I know he's Swiss. Yes, I get it. But he has a Dominican dad. So that's it. The Dominican Republic is in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, plus we're in Boston, which is like essentially a small Dominican Republic anyway. Make the final interesting, Norway versus France, but France only gets to play with 9.
This is what we're talking about.
You know what,
about.
Though? Honestly, I'd be so tuned into that, and I might still pick France.
Okay.
Hefe.
Let's go.
Thank you so much for everyone who's been putting comments, all the tweets.
All right,
thank
everybody.
You so much to everyone. I'm expecting that. What's the next game? Is that
Spain-Belgium is the next
Spain,
game.
Belgium. I think Spain's going to win that one pretty easily. I'm excited.
Yeah, it should be, I mean, fun. Maybe a little bit as USMNT fans, maybe a little bit of revenge per se. But you know what? Belgium, they deserve the win without a doubt. And then I was also, I think in victory, they also... They didn't necessarily make fun of the team, but they made fun of Trump. You saw them all doing the Trump dance.
They did it when Lukaku scored as
well. Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, you know what?
By the way, I co-sign all
you
that.
You make fun. Making fun of the president, that's cool. We support it. So I thought Belgium handled it well, but obviously disappointing for the USMNT. Yeah. We'll argue about pro-rel and pay-to-play for the next 4 years. until we get to the next
men's
World Cup.
It happens after every World Cup.
That's what we do here. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Like we said, we're on the boots on the ground in Boston, hanging out with a bunch of France fans and stuff like that, watching the game with them. So we had a great time here at the Roadrunner.
Moroccan stuff.
A lot of Moroccan people here too in Boston. Yeah. So that was great to see.
They're not happy about it, but they're watching Phoenix right now, having a good time.
So we're gonna go check out Phoenix, see what they're up to.
All right, I'm gonna go stick my tongue deep in this Vita Coco and get the rest of it. Okay. You guys enjoy the rest of your night.
Y'all the best. Take care, everybody. Peace. Hit the follow button. Subscribe. Bye.
Love you guys.